Dr. Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is Bob Griggs, and we're delighted you've joined us again for a few moments of Bible study together as we look into the Word of God. We're using as our text 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we're talking about spiritual gifts, and we're talking about what it means to be a child of God, and we're talking about who we are in Christ. We're talking about the individual and what it means to be a child of God. I was a child of God for many years before I began to fully understand my identity and who I really was in Christ Jesus. And there are so many individuals who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, have accepted Him as Savior, and yet do not fully understand all that it means to be a child of God. And so that's why we're considering and thinking about this subject of who am I? Who am I as a child of God? What does it mean to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we're talking about some of the spiritual gifts that we have in Christ Jesus, and we're talking about the spiritual gift of healing. And again, I would remind you that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so we always think about physical healing when we talk about the spiritual gift of healing. But, beloved, there's a far greater healing, and that is the healing of one's spirit, the restoring of one to life eternal, and deliverance from the bondage, control, and dominion of sin. For that is a matter of eternal importance, not just temporary, like the physical healing of the physical body would be, but the eternal is of far greater importance than the temporary. And yet we human beings, like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we put the emphasis on the physical rather than upon the spiritual. Yes, there is physical healing. Definitely there is. And God's able to perform physical healing in an individual. And He's able to use people to give them spiritual or physical insights and understanding to the physical body, and this spiritual gift of healing to give them that desire to help people physically with their physical infirmities. And I'm thankful for people like that, that God has burdened their hearts to help in a physical realm, because I've had 3 hernia surgeries. I'm a little guy. I'm not very big. And sometimes I have a tendency to overdo things. And so I've had to have 3 hernia surgeries to the point the doctors say we can't perform anymore. And yet I'm thankful for those doctors who performed those surgeries and did a good job. I'm thankful for the nurses that helped and that helped me through the healing process. And I'm thankful for people that have that gift of healing. Dr. and Mrs. Paul Brand were serving, I believe it was in India, to the lepers. And they helped heal many lepers and introduced many new treatments. And one day, Mrs. Brand was called to help with lepers' eyes, dealing with their eyes. And she said, well, I don't know anything about their eyes. And they said, well, the one who usually deals with the eyes is not here, and you're going to have to fill their shoes. You're going to have to help in that capacity. And so she began to study the eyes of the lepers and to help with the eyes of the lepers. And she discovered, through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, as a child of God, she discovered that you could tell if a person had leprosy or not simply by looking at the eyes. and it took her a while to convince other doctors of that, but now all doctors have come to an understanding that you can tell if a person has leprosy or not by looking into their eyes. There's certain details that the physical eye will show that a person has leprosy, and they can be detected to have leprosy before it's more apparent in other aspects of the body by simply looking into their eyes. And so the Lord gave her that gift of healing and that gift of being able to detect and recognize the gift of leprosy. Now, we all know that Satan is a counterfeiter. And we've read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." He is a master at deception, and he tries to imitate what God does. And we see that I have talked to people that have seen lost people perform miracles that claim to have supernatural power. And they were empowered by Satan, just as believers are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to help heal individuals that are ill. I remember talking to a lady and counseling with her that had, as a young girl, her parents had taken her to a medicine man. And the medicine man, she said, had taken a bone out of her foot, said she saw it appear in his hand, and he didn't have anything in his hand before, but he took a bone out of her ankle, and he ground up the bone and mixed it with water and made her drink it because she had an addiction to alcohol, and he said, "This will cure you of that addiction to alcohol." And so she believed him, and so she stopped drinking. She stopped going after alcohol anymore and seeking the alcohol. And she said he literally did that. She saw the bone that he pulled out of her ankle, and she did not have a bone in his hand, and she saw it come out, and she saw him grind it up, and said she saw him do this, and he had supernatural power. And then he said, "Now, do you have any neighbors, or is there anyone that you want me to put a curse on?" And they said, "Well, there's a man that's been giving us trouble." And he said, "Okay," said, "I'll kill him." And they said, "No, no," said, "don't kill him," said, "we just want him to stop giving us the problems that he's been doing." He said, "Okay," said, "I'll make him sick then." And so they said, she did, said that in a few days, this man was so out of his head that he was eating his own bowel movement. And said he was completely out of his head, became extremely sick and extremely ill. Well, how did he do that? It was through satanic power and demonic activity. The power of Satan is very real, and Satan is a real enemy of believers, and he deceives the whole world. He's a master at deception, and that's why we're told that Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. Satan doesn't want people to believe in the Lord Jesus and to accept him as their Savior. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," which is Satan. He's the god of this present world system, and this present world system is under his control. God's given him that freedom for a reason and purpose, because he's going to fulfill the plan of God. And God's even able to use the devil to his glory, honor, and praise. For with God nothing shall be impossible. He's God, beloved. And so, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, Christ is the physical revelation of God to man, should shine unto them, and they should be saved. You see, beloved, Satan doesn't want people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you and I know of people all around us who are blinded by Satan and sin, and who will not accept Christ as their Savior. That's why you and I are to be a witness. We who know the truth and have our spiritual understanding enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, we are to share with them the truth of the living God. We are to be a witness, a testimony to them, that they might be healed from their sin, that they might be delivered from the control and dominion of sin, that they might be liberated and set free and brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And so, beloved, you and I are to be a witness to the fact that Christ has transformed our life. And by our life, we're to so live before people that they will see there's something different about us. And they will want to know what has made a difference in our life. And beloved, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the testimony of a man many years ago in Hawaii that was in the military, that was sharing how that he had known people before he was saved and had been drinking with them and cursing and swearing and living an immoral life. And now that he had found Jesus, he no longer drank. He was no longer swearing. He was no longer living in immorality. And they said, "What happened to you? What has transformed in your life to make you different?" And he said, "I found Jesus. And Jesus has found me, and he has delivered me from the bondage of sin. He's healed me of my sin sickness. He's made a new creation out of me. He's delivered me, and I'm now whole and pure and clean in my spirit, because God's Holy Spirit has moved into my spirit and made a new creation out of me." Until next time, goodbye.